This is Dave Fleming in the Ingenuity Lab. In the first part of this podcast, we set up the table for the conversation about what happens when you move from team member to team leader. And we first said, hey, don't take everything that's happening on the team as a personal affront against your leadership. Many of the things that are now happening were already happening. Be careful not to assign it all, the dysfunctions, the situations, the pressures, the stresses, the realities of the team. Don't assign that all to the fact that you made the move. Much of it was happening before you were the leader, and now you have to work with the team to make the shift that will increase effectiveness. And that was the second strategy that we talked about, and that is move from boss to leader. And you can listen to part one again if you want to refresh yourself on the topics that we covered there. In this next podcast, I want to give you three more strategies. So add to think leader, not boss, these next three or four strategies. Number three, add value. Add value as a leader. Now, right at the end of the first part of this podcast, I shared some ways that a leader can add value. But let's just fine-tune this up a bit so we dial it in a little clearer. You really, on a regular basis, ought to be seeing the people you lead almost as if they were customers. Now, don't freak out on me. Don't freak out on me. I don't mean by that that the customer is always right and you should run around doing anything and everything every single one of your customers says. I don't mean it that way at all. What I mean is you should think about the people you lead like people in business think about their customers. They're obsessed with their customers and what will help their customers stay customers. And so what are you doing to help the people you lead? What obsessions are you obsessing about that will help the people you lead do better work, be more developed as a contributor, grow their own skill set, someday maybe replace you? I mean, there's all kinds of things you could obsess about. So it's not that the people that you lead are your customers in that you should jump at every whim they come up with, but rather you should be consistently thinking about how to help make them better, how to help them achieve greater success and add more value in their work. And that requires ongoing thought. You should be thinking about them. They should pop up in your mind. How can I help Dave or Sarah or John? What are the specific issues that Dave needs to work on? How can I put opportunities in front of him to help him grow? Oh, man. This is the hard work of being a leader. It's easy to stand up in front of a crowd as the leader and give an inspiring speech and rally the tribe around something and play Rocky theme music. Thanks. Okay, great. Yeah, that's easy. I mean, I know some people don't like to speak, but you get my point. The upfront stuff is the easy part. It's the down in the everyday where you're working with your team to advance the mission that you have to be thinking about, what can I do to help you as an individual contributor or this team as a collection of contributors? What can I do to help you be better? Now that is adding value. And I will say this, just one little challenge to senior leaders in this. What I have found is that the more senior a leader in an organization, the less they do this kind of thinking. They just leave the people on their team kind of to their own devices. But I'm talking from CEO all the way through the leadership structure. If you lead a team of people, you ought to be obsessing about how you can help them be better in what they do. And if you're not, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're missing an extremely important part of your role as a leader, which is to help the people on your team increase the value that they are bringing to the mission. Add value by helping and assisting your team to be better at what they do, personally better and collectively better. Add value. Who doesn't want that in a leader? You might have people who are your friends or people who were your peers. You start to add value in their lives, in their roles, they'll accept you as a leader far more rapidly than if you're just their boss. Strategy number 4. When you hold people accountable, appeal to more than compliance. Okay, if you're leading people who are your personal friends, or you are now leading the team you used to be a part of, when you do need to, quote, be the boss, when you do need to hold people accountable, when you do need to hold friends accountable, do it, but appeal to more than compliance. Okay, so let's explore this one just a bit. It's so easy for any leader, when they do need to have an accountability conversation, a conversation that puts that power differential in place because something's not being done or a change in the employee needs to occur. It's so easy to get focused only on the aspect of compliance. Stop doing this, start doing that. And I'm not suggesting that that isn't an important part of the conversation. But particularly when you have been part of the team or have friends on the team and you have to hold one of them accountable, also try to help them understand why it behooves them to do what they are struggling to do. What's the value add for them? What can complying, if you will, or staying within certain guidelines or signposts or boundaries of the organization, why that actually is good for them, how that can actually affect them in positive ways. It's again, so easy to get hung up on, oh my gosh, I've got to have this conversation about holding someone accountable, and I just need to get them to be compliant about issue X and not really think through why. Why should they? If I was the person who I'm going to have the conversation with, why would I see value in complying with something that I am currently not complying with? What can I do as a leader when I have the conversation with the person to help that person appreciate why it will make his world better if he complies? Appeal to more than simply, you have to do this. Appeal to the benefits and the rationale of complying. Now, then the second piece of this is the appeal. Especially when you know someone and you have a relationship with them and perhaps they are a friend of yours or you were a team member, a peer, appeal to that. Appeal to that. Now, you have to be careful here. You have to be careful. You don't want to over-appeal to that because you don't want this to become manipulative. So you don't want to say something like, hey, look, we're friends and you're making my life hard and can you please freaking get in line? That's not what I mean. But you know that person, and you know how to appeal to that person in a way that is more likely to engender receptivity from that person. You appeal to that. So, for example, you could say to a person who's a friend of yours and you know well, let's say they're having a problem with tardiness. You could say, hey, I know that sometimes it can be a struggle to be on time. And I understand that there's a lot going on in your life that sometimes causes unexpected tardiness. And I really want to figure out how to work with you on that. I certainly don't want you to think that I'm just going to make you comply when you have a true crisis. But maybe there are some things that we can do that will help mitigate some of those issues that are causing the tardiness, because I know you've got a lot on your plate, and I know that you have a lot of things that you have to manage in the mornings before you arrive. And I also know that your tardiness is starting to catch the eye of my leader, and I don't want that to hold you back, because I know the kind of work you do. Okay, you see, you're appealing to the person at that moment. And you are using a bit of what you know about the person in the appeal, but you're not doing it in a manipulative way to simply gain the upper hand or gain the compliance. You're doing it in a way that shows that you not only care, that you get it, but you want to help, and that you are looking out for the person so that he or she does not have problems later when it might be his or her time to be promoted. So there are ways to appeal to someone you know without it becoming manipulative. By the way, when you have to have accountability conversations, whether the people are your friends or not, whether you were on the team or not before you were the leader, this is a good strategy, but it is particularly good if those things are true. Have the accountability conversation, but appeal to the reasons why. Don't just enforce to gain compliance. Okay, and then finally, the last strategy I'll say is give it time. Give it time, but stay vigilant and deliberate in your leadership. If you're new as a leader, or even not new as a leader, on a team that you were once a member of, you need to give it time. We do need time to metabolize change, and you being the leader is a change. But giving it time doesn't mean you don't do strategic activities and have strategic conversations and practice strategic actions that will make it more likely that your leadership will take hold. Be deliberate. Practice what we've talked about. Think of other important actions that you can take that will help your leadership to take root with that team. And over time, you can see people not only adjusting and adapting to your leadership, but embracing it. Again, whether they knew you or not, but particularly with friends and past peers, it's important that you give space, but in that space, you're also deliberate. When you're new in your role, or when you've been in a role and you have friends who are now people that report to you, it can be a challenge, but it is not insurmountable, especially if you're deliberate in practicing the strategies we've explored in part one and part two of this podcast, and really coming up with other strategies that are important to you, talking to other colleagues who are leaders as well of other teams. All of this points to a deliberate approach. And the more deliberate and mindful your approach, the more likely it is that people will be accepting of your leadership. It doesn't mean there won't be bumps, but if you practice the things that we've talked about, it's more likely that you will find not only that your leadership takes root, but people will be anxious to allow that leadership to grow, because it's not about you. It's about all of you together as you help to facilitate and influence a better execution of your mission. And that's what I hope for you. Until next time, this is Dave Fleming in the Ingenuity Lab.